from CBS News Bay Area. This is the Afternoon Edition.
And right now in the Afternoon Edition, it was used in America's deadliest mass shooting. Now the nation's high court weighs in on a controversial gun device. Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Yamamoto. The U.S. Supreme Court has struck down a Trump-era ban on bump stocks. The regulation was enacted in the wake of the 2017 Las Vegas massacre. Those devices allow a shooter to convert a semi-automatic weapon and a rifle that can be firing at a rate of hundreds of rounds a minute. Our Natalie Brand is outside the Supreme Court.
The U.S. Supreme Court put guns back in the political spotlight Friday, striking down a ban on bump stocks. The Trump administration put the rule in place after America's deadliest modern mass shooting. In 2017, a gunman fired more than 1,000 rounds into the crowd at a Las Vegas concert in 11 minutes. The High Court's 6-3 opinion focused on the mechanics of the gun accessory.
This is whether or not the ATF, an executive agency, could say semi-automatic weapons plus bump stock equals machine gun, and machine guns are banned under federal law.
Justice Thomas, writing for the majority, said a bump stock does not convert a semi-automatic rifle into a machine gun any more than a shooter with a lightning-fast trigger finger does. Justice Sotomayor, in the dissent, sharply disagreed, stressing a rifle equipped with a bump stock can fire at a rate of 400 to 800 rounds per minute, writing, "When I see a bird that walks like a duck, swims like a duck, and quacks like a duck, I call that bird a duck."
Conservative justices also took issue with the ATF writing the rule instead of lawmakers, saying it's up to Congress to amend the law regarding bump stocks.
But lawmakers we spoke to on both sides of the aisle don't expect any movement on the issue.
Not particularly optimistic.
I think it's probably going to be left where it is.
The Supreme Court must still rule on another big gun case, deciding whether or not to uphold federal law that prohibits people under domestic violence restraining orders from owning firearms.
Well, in a statement following the Supreme Court's decision, President Biden called on Congress to ban bump stocks and pass an assault weapons ban, saying if lawmakers send him a bill, he will sign it immediately. Okay, turning to weather right now, dry, gusty winds this Father's Day weekend could lead to a high fire danger in Northern California. That's prompting this year's first fire weather watch. The areas at the greatest risk include the Sacramento Valley, Northern Sierra Nevada foothills, and Lake County. Red flag warnings are also possible this weekend.
These high winds are just driving these fires in directions where we don't want them to go. Our main focus on a grass fire is to keep it out of mainly structures because of the life hazard that it creates, but we also want to save property as well.
Well, here in the Bay Area, breezy and warm conditions in parts of the region. As we take a live look outside at the Santa Clara Valley from Black Mountain, meteorologist Jessica Birch is in our virtual weather studio with our first alert forecast.
Heading into the next couple days, we have beautiful, mild weather in the forecast for us, at least when it comes to the temperatures. It's going to be gusty for us heading into this afternoon with wind speeds anywhere up to around 30 miles per hour near San Francisco. It gets breezier along the shoreline all the way up into Bodega Bay. About 40 mile per hour winds are expected there heading into dinnertime hours tonight. Other than that, though, it's a relatively mild forecast with temperatures at least. We're talking about 80s up in Santa Rosa, 70s near Petaluma, 70s also all the way over into Redwood City, too. 80s off into the East Bay, which is just kind of a nice little break and a breath of fresh air, honestly, because I mean, we kicked this week off with a heat wave. Yesterday we were well below average in the 70s, so it's kind of nice to see normal weather, average weather, I should say. And we're going to get a repeat of that day by day as we head into the next 7 days with plenty of sunshine in store for us as we gear up and get ready for the first day of summer, which is next Thursday. Now let's head all the way over into the Bay, because it's harder to copy and paste that forecast for our friends along the Bay. We have that marine layer that's a little bit more stubborn along the shoreline, and that's what we dealt with this morning. Heading into the next couple days, we have plenty of sunshine for any Father's Day festivities. And then here we go into next week. By Monday and Tuesday, that marine layer returns. We're flirting with the 60s and 70s closer to San Francisco and Oakland. And we'll keep you updated with that forecast as we get closer to that.
Well, San Francisco is shifting its strategy in the crackdown on the open-air drug market in the Tenderloin. The DEA, FBI, and the U.S. Justice Department have all been fighting to cut off the pipeline of fentanyl that's been flowing into the neighborhood for years. And the feds tell us, well, their efforts are beginning to pay off. Officials say they've made significant progress since November last year, including the extraditions of alleged drug dealers from Honduras back to the U.S. They're also ramping up their crackdown on nighttime drug markets, where they say a majority of the dealing has shifted. The night operations so far have led to 20 federal criminal complaints. Wilson Walker has a closer look at the intervention and how it's having an impact on our city streets.
What I'm noticing during the day, it's difficult to find at all.
JJ says the trend started months ago and it has only accelerated in recent weeks. Drugs like fentanyl are getting harder to find in San Francisco's Tenderloin.
Definitely, definitely. So people are definitely selling smaller amounts and more fights are happening because of it. People are getting ripped off.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends. One wanted to move to Philadelphia and another to Oregon so they could get dope easier.
Brian says the diminishing supply of readily available drugs is the direct result of fewer dealers.
Of the main ones that have been selling here for years, you know, that like have established themselves, there's probably less than like 10 like that are like out of jail right now.
Like you've walked these streets, right? There used to be 6 to 10 drug dealers on every block during the day.
Special agent in charge of the San Francisco field office for the DEA, Brian Clark, says combined federal, state, and local efforts have turned a corner and drug dealers are now on the run.
I think we've had a significant transformation during the day, right? We've been able to kind of change how the open air drug market works right now.
Yeah, it sucks, dude. And the daytime dope is so sh- it's like not worth it to buy it, so you have to wait till midnight to get decent stuff.
So now they are operating at night. That felt safer at night. We've adjusted to that.
One part of that adjustment is added staffing for an around-the-clock offensive, with a swarm of agencies now targeting the streets and overnight markets.
They are working from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. They're following around the drug traffickers at night. We also have deputized SFPD narcotics officers, so they can file and take cases that they work on and take them to the federal system and file federal cases on individuals.
Federal charges not only come with the risk of a more substantial prison sentence.
If you're prosecuted federally, you may be turned over and deported based upon the felony conviction.
Clark says the agency knows the arrests are affecting the market, but he acknowledges that enforcement can only do so much.
That's why education, treatment, and prevention is more important than ever. Like our colleagues at Public Health need to get out here to provide the resources and the prevention and treatment in order to make a change, in order for us to turn this around.
I don't like to see my friends, you know, be arrested or, you know, in withdrawal or any of that, you know, so it does suck. But I understand where, you know, general public's coming from, you know. It was pretty crazy out here.
Yes, Brian himself says the pressure on dealers is making a difference.
Yeah, the city, in my opinion, is starting to, like, look better, you know, more vibrant and stuff. Used to be just, like, drug addicts everywhere, you know. Now you see, like, tourists and stuff, you know.
Well, this is on top of the city's own efforts. Mayor Lyndon Breed's office says over the last year, San Francisco's Drug Market Agency Coordination Center has helped seize close to 200 kilos of drugs and arrested more than 3,000 people. And while the city says that's a milestone, they say it's also just a drop in the bucket. Okay, we're learning about a scary incident on a Southwest Airlines flight from Phoenix to Oakland last month. The plane experienced what is called a Dutch roll midair. That's when the aircraft rocks side to side and sways left and right. According to an FAA report, it happened on Southwest Flight 746, which was a Boeing 737 MAX 8 plane. And it was all because of a damaged aircraft power control unit that ended up making the plane much less stable. Okay, that plane was carrying 175 passengers and 6 crew members, but no one was hurt. The plane was first delivered to the airline in December of 2022. After that incident, it was grounded until June 6, then sent to a Boeing facility for repairs. We reached out to Southwest, but they did not have any more information on that incident.